What's going on, folks? Welcome to episode 14 of the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Allen, and this week I am joined by the one and only Eric Crail, or should I say Dr. Eric Crail. Let me put some respect on that name.
Thank you.
Eric, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Kyle. All of my fantasy teams are still undefeated.
The GOAT, truly. I can't say anything less of you.
Who would have thunk it?
It's a wonder your friends will even play in leagues with you at this point.
I know.
Well, I unfortunately cannot say the same. This was a rough week for me. I think I had my lowest scoring total ever in a Superflex league. A Superflex plus two flex positions. I scored like 83 points this week. It was horrible.
Wow. But it was a weird week.
Dude, bizarre week. Yeah, I lost Kyler. I lost D-Hop. David Montgomery. I wasn't optimistic and didn't play him. I played Khalil Herbert over him. It was just a mess.
Yikes.
Yeah. But injuries are part of the game. It's something we have to deal with. And here at the Next Man Up, we have a saying, the best ability is availability. So if I would have listened to our friend Matthew, I would have known that David Montgomery's availability meant he was ready to go. As you know, a player on your injured reserve can't really do much for your team. So we're here to help you find out not only how long they'll be out, but who you can replace them with to be ready for this week. So let's get to some injury news. And for the sake of organization, we're going to split the news up by position. To get things rolling, let's talk about QBs first. Eric, Kyler Murray missed last week, and he's still listed as questionable with an ankle injury. Can we expect him to be ready to go this week?
Yeah, so Kyler Murray has what's probably a low-grade, low ankle sprain, which we know is not as serious as a high ankle sprain. I think that the big question mark on this player is the reality that they're playing the Panthers this coming week, and they're going to be playing the backup quarterback, PJ Walker, who might honestly be a little bit more competitive than Sam Darnold at this point. But, you know, the Cardinals are in playoff contention, and I think that they're going to be looking for, you know, the long-term solution to Kyler's injury. Colt McCoy is not a bad backup quarterback in real life. So I think that is the biggest risk for him not playing is, you know, just the reality that they can probably take the luxury of sitting him for a game. What he really needs right now is rest. I mean, this is like a 2 to 4 week injury, depending on severity. I think that they'll probably opt to rest him, depending on what is happening internally. But it's the type of injury that he could certainly play through if he wanted to. So just keep your ear to the ground on this one.
Yeah, I think this is certainly one to keep an eye on practice reports. If he gets in one or two full practices by the end of the week, I would expect to see him. But Colt McCoy is, as you said, he's a serviceable backup, even for fantasy purposes. If you have nobody else and you've got to start somebody in your second super flex option, he's not a bad choice, really, in my opinion. On to the other side of that matchup, as you mentioned, Carolina, Sam Darnold is expected to be out again with a shoulder injury. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you mentioned they already declared that PJ Walker will be starting this week. They currently have Darnold listed as day-to-day, but obviously that's not the case. I think at this point, the Panthers are probably right to look at PJ Walker. Maybe he can earn right at this point. Darnold started off hot. We talked about last week off hot, didn't really do great. Last week was abysmal, to put it lightly. I mean, what do you have, 3 picks and a fumble? It's just not good, shoulder injury or not. I mean, not what you're looking for. So hopefully PJ Walker can give them a little light at the end of the tunnel as we're coming to the home stretch of the season. So speaking of young quarterbacks, we have a rookie on the injury report. Trevor Lawrence is dealing with an ankle injury. What's up with him?
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence suffered this injury in the game last week, and I think that he missed a couple plays, but actually came back in and played through the injury, which it tells you the severity of the injury already. I mean, it's the type of injury that he needs rest. He's going to go through that acute inflammatory phase, but, you know, in the NFL, they have tons of ways to mitigate that inflammatory reaction. Whether or not that's good for his long-term health, that's another question. But, you know, I think that this is the type of injury that he'll play through. I'm not too concerned about him missing this game unless he has a legitimate setback in practice. This isn't one that, you know, it's really on my radar in terms of long-term injury.
Yeah, I would expect him to be ready to go. And if he's not, CJ Beathard really isn't somebody that I'm looking to start. If I'm starting to back up, I would definitely start Walker or McCoy over CJ Beathard this week. Another quarterback with an ankle injury, Matthew Stafford, suffered a sprained ankle this week. He himself said he'll be fine. And in my opinion, if there's anybody in the NFL that says, I'm fine, I'm going to play, and I'm going to listen, it'll be Matthew Stafford. The dude is like unbreakable, knock on wood, but he truly like plays through everything. Like, he's had a game-winning drive with a separated shoulder. He's kind of the Iron Man of the league. There's not as many players that do that anymore, but he's one that I'm like, if he's a little dinged up, he'll be fine, and he's still going to produce. I am not worried about Matthew Stafford at all. But if for some reason he's unable to go, it will likely be John Wolford, who's another one who I'm not really excited about for fantasy purposes. Ooh. Yeah. We were talking about it a little bit before we hopped on the live here. Tua, what is going on with Tua in Miami and his finger injury?
Yeah, so Tua has a finger injury on his throwing hand, which is obviously going to affect, you know, whether or not he could push through this type of injury. It's worth noting that he's still dealing with the rib injury that he suffered earlier in the season. It seems like both of these injuries are coming down to, you know, pain tolerance. Can he grip the football well enough? Can he take a hit well enough? Can he stay in the game and, you know, be a reliable piece to this offense? It's sounding like from reports that he has a fair chance to play, but, you know, this is really going to be one of those things that they try out probably up until pregame and try and figure out, you know, who is the best option, who gives them the best chance at winning this week. You know, is it a dinged up Tua or is it a so-so Jacoby Brissett? And last week we saw Jacoby Brissett get put in. So I think it's a fair shot to say that, you know, it's going to be Jacoby's game this week. But we really won't know until a little bit later in the week.
Dinged up Tua and so-so Brissett are just...
Yeah, pick your poison.
If you guys need fantasy team name ideas, Eric is your guy. I personally may go with dinged up Tua next year. Yeah, and they do have a Thursday night game this week, so keep an eye on the injury news out of Miami. If you're somebody who has Tua in your starting lineup, definitely great something point to keep an eye on early in the week. I am one of those people. That's probably... It caught my eye earlier. I was like, oh, crap, they're Thursday. I don't know if I can rely on that or not.
Are you rolling with dinged up Tua?
I don't know. He's a super flex option for me. It's between him and Kyler Murray, actually. So I'm really keeping an eye on Arizona's practice reports today and tomorrow and crossing my fingers that Kyler's healthy because I need to rack up some wins coming into the playoff stretch.
That's a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. So our last little bit on QB injury news, we have Zach Wilson and Mike White for the New York Jets. Now, Zach Wilson hasn't exactly been a spectacular rookie this year. He's still dealing with a knee injury, isn't expected to be ready to go this week. And Mike White, who came in for him, lit it up in week 8, started off hot on the first drive in week 9, but then suffered a forearm injury and was replaced. But he's expected to start for week 10. He's a must start in all formats. He is going to camp. Okay, that might be a bit of an exaggeration, but the dude shredded in his only full week. His first drive out, he looked spectacular. I'm like, who is this guy? And like,
I was in love.
Honestly, I'm comfortable starting him if I have nobody else. But if you've got, you know, a choice of a dinged up Tua or dinged up Mike White, I might go with Tua because you at least know you have a bigger sample size. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Other quarterback updates. Russell Wilson practiced on Monday. He has officially been cleared by his surgeon. The ever optimistic Pete Carroll said that he's slinging the ball all over the yard. He should be ready to go. I would expect him to be ready if he's been cleared by a surgeon and he's throwing already. But again, keep an eye on practice reports. Make sure that you are up to date on what's going on with your star players. Moving on to running backs, Arizona's running back Chase Edmonds suffered an ankle injury. Eric, obviously James Conner spelled him and looked great in relief. Do we think this is going to go back to a timeshare this week, or is Chase Edmonds looking at some extended time away?
Yeah, I think that the news has recently come out saying that Chase Edmonds is suffering from a high ankle sprain, which is a pretty legitimate indicator that he's going to miss at least a few games. High ankle sprain, I mean, you can think of like Jerry Jeudy. He missed, I think, around 4 games. And even now, he's just sort of limping his way back into the game. Not literally, but, you know, in his ability to perform to the level that you expect. And So unfortunately, I think it's going to be, you know, James Conner for the foreseeable future. I do think Chase Edmonds will come back before the end of the season. But, you know, if you're an Edmonds owner and you've been putting him into your flex or maybe as an RB2, then you should be looking elsewhere for the next couple of weeks.
Do you feel confident in James Conner to be able to put up RB2 numbers consistently?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't think he's washed up at all. I think that he has the skills. I think he's done it before in recent years, this year included. He just needs the volume. And, you know, that might be coming with maybe even a Kyler Murray exit. You know, if Colt McCoy's at the helm, they might lean on that running game a bit more. And you saw last week what James Conner could do with some volume.
Yeah, if you remove all the competition, he's not a bad option. That sounded worse than I meant for it to, but yeah, I'm comfortable starting him as an RB2 or a flex option this week as well.
So am I.
Alrighty. Zach Moss suffered a concussion this week. He's been a pleasant surprise for me. I picked him up faux free on waivers in one of my leagues, and he's just been like a consistent plug at flex. It's like 12 points, book it. But as we've talked about over and over and over again, concussions are an injury that we consider to be nonlinear, which means there's not a set timeline. You know, ACLs, we say 9 to 12 months. It's not like that. A concussion is different for everybody. There's certain protocols that the NFL has in place that a player has to clear. So until he clears the concussion protocol, Zach Moss, we can't count on him being available. So the next man up in Buffalo is obviously Devin Singletary, but expect Josh Allen to get some additional rushing upside as well. Last season, he was plunging in touchdowns in the red zone left and right. I would expect him to get a little bit more rushing volume and short yardage in at the goal line.
Yeah, I like that Josh Allen plug. I think that's a good call.
I hope he lights it up because I have him all over the place. Alrighty, Cleveland has never been short at running back in the past couple of seasons, but this week they might be. Both Nick Chubb and Demetric Felton are now or have tested COVID positive. They are on the COVID list. Who are you looking at to fill those shoes?
Well, I mean, both do have a chance to play this week. They're both vaccinated, as I understand it. So that means that according to protocol, they'll need two back-to-back negative COVID tests taken at least 24 hours apart. So it's Tuesday. You know, it's going to come down to the wire, but it's possible, right? It's possible that they both get negative COVID tests. But, you know, if they don't, this could really be another D'Ernest Johnson week. I don't really know what to think of him. I saw him play and he looked great, but realistically, I mean, what do you think? Do you think he could double down?
I think it's possible. Last year, he in a similar situation. I think Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were both out for various reasons, and he came in and he had one week that was just absolutely lights out, and then a couple of weeks where he was a flex candidate. I'm comfortable starting him in the flex if I have nothing else. I wouldn't expect him to put up huge numbers, but that's a offense that likes to run the ball, and he's shown that he's got the talent to do it. He's going to get the volume. I think it's kind of similar to James Conner in Arizona. The volume's going to be there. The question is, will the production shine through? And I think it certainly has a chance to.
Yeah, I like that James Conner comp.
Would you rather have a dinged up James Conner or a... dinged up to it. No. Alrighty. Another running back room that's starting to look thin after having a very good start to the year. Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson in New England both suffered head injuries against Carolina this week. From what I've been able to find, they are still in concussion protocol, so we're not sure when they will be available. If they're able to clear protocol, Damian Harris is the obvious number one there, with Stevenson being the backup. But if one or neither of them are ready, I'm looking at Brandon Bolden, and I'm comfortable starting him at the flex as well. And he's kind of been borderline flex consideration on and off all season. He's getting the passing down work with James White out, and he's shown that he can run the ball. He's been on the Patriots for a long time. He knows that offense. He's somebody they trust, and they're comfortable just plugging him in. So especially if Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson are both out, he should be that lead back for New England this week. Other updates, Jeff Wilson, I mentioned last week that his practice window had opened and the 49ers did indeed activate him from IR. He did not get any carries last week. I should have checked to see if he played any offensive snaps, which would disqualify him from the weird 3-week window thing. But I would expect him to start to get some run this week, whether it's enough volume to warrant consideration for a starting spot. I don't think yet. I want to see him prove at 1 week and then I'd be comfortable with, you know, holding him on my roster and potentially playing him in the future. Chris Carson is also expected to rejoin the Seahawks alongside Russell Wilson this week. He's said to be expected to start practicing on Wednesday. So tomorrow he should be back at practice. It'll be interesting to hear what miracles Pete Carroll has performed on his starting running back. All righty, moving over to wide receiver. Holly, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to tag. I think I just looked up for you. Jeff Wilson played no offensive snaps last week.
Thank you. So if he does the same thing for two more weeks, by the new rules, he becomes a free agent. That is just a wild rule to me.
Is that real?
Like, to my understanding, when the player is on a short-term IR, which he wasn't on short-term IR, so that may not be the same for him. But my understanding is for the like 3 week short-term IR, once a player is activated and begins practicing, the team has 3 weeks to start playing them again. And if they don't play within a 3 week period, then they would become a free agent.
Wow. I have never heard of that.
I might have to double check that. That could have been some crazy fever dream. But I'll get back to you on that. I'll get back to you on that one. All righty, moving on to wide receiver. Marquise Brown is earlier in the week, he was listed as day-to-day with a back injury. Do we think he's going to be ready to go this week? And if not, who do you think fills his shoes?
Yeah, I think that this was a belated trick-or-treat gag from Marquise Brown. I think that the reports are already coming out saying that he's going to be ready to roll this week. My only concern is the reality that he's playing on a short week. He's got a game in 2 days, really. So he really only has like 24 more hours to recover and some change. But, you know, the reports are really positive. So my guess is that he'll come back in and he'll play and be the Marquise Brown that you expect. Should he suffer a setback, Rashad Bateman is the obvious next man up candidate. He's been pretty dang good in limited action so far. I think he's yet to show that Marquise Brown explosive, you know, legitimate wide receiver game that you might want, especially if you're playing redraft with him. But Rashad Bateman has been proven to be plenty capable in this offense so far.
Yeah, I think when both of them are healthy, I think that Bateman's going to be more of the target hog kind of player, which obviously you want if you play in PPR league, but Hollywood Brown's going to be that explosive deep threat. Any play, he can break it and go to the house. And real quick, I looked up the rule because I didn't want to mislead the masses. So I was right. It is a 21-day window, but they don't become a free agent. I don't know where the heck that came from, but if the player isn't activated within the 21-day window, they revert back to IR and they have to stay there for the rest of the season.
Ooh.
So if you begin practicing after being on the IR, you have a 3 week window to have some game action. And if you do not, you have to go back to IR for the rest of the year.
A little double jeopardy. Okay.
Basically, that way people aren't abusing the short-term IR, I guess. Alrighty. Moving on to Miami again, Devontae Parker has been added to the IR with both shoulder and hamstring injuries. Now, being on the IR, he'll be gone at least 3 weeks. So in the interim, if I'm looking at any Miami receiver, it's only Jalen Waddle. Whether it's Tua or Brissett, he's really the only one that I trust in that offense. Even though he's a rookie, he's been fairly serviceable this year, and I'm comfortable starting him. I don't really see any other receiver gaining a whole lot of value for me to trust him on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that they don't have a ton of great pass catchers there, especially with Will Fuller out. Mike Gesicki, you know, he's capable in whatever limited volume they give him. But, I mean, even when you look at the running backs, there's not much to, you know, to bite on. So
I think Miles Gaskin may be the
bust for me.
Yeah. Miles Gaskin may get a little bump, but their usage of him has been so inconsistent, it scares me to put him in a starting lineup. Alrighty, in New York, Sterling Shepard. We've talked about him already. I believe last week we were talking about him and Kenny Galladay. I've decided we're no longer going to talk about Kenny Galladay until he's actually able to play and play well. I'm just... he's like a chronic...
That's the rules.
Yeah. So yeah. Sterling Shepard, when can we expect to see him back?
You know, this is a tricky one because when you watch the play, it looks like he was running and then he tried to, you know, do a quick stop and decelerate. And I think like the top of his left foot caught the turf. So they're listing him as a quad injury. It could very well also be a hip flexor injury. Seems like a strain, which, you know, really is a pain tolerance thing. What you need is, active rest. So I think that they're gonna you know, they're going to ease him back into the offense, back into practices. He could play on Sunday, but, you know, I mean, I think this is something that I think knocked him out of the game, which tells you at least the acuity of the injury, the severity of the pain that he experienced. So I think for him, you know, he's been so dinged up this season with soft tissue injuries. It's not that encouraging, but each injury is its own thing. You have to take each one as an independent injury. So just watch the practice reports with Sterling Shepard. You know, if he's in, I think that he's a good candidate to get some volume. If he's out, you know, I think that anyone else, you know, I think even Evan Engram could get a bump. But certainly Kadarius Toney or Darius Slayton, those two are kind of interchangeable for me right now.
Yeah, for me, those two, it's kind of like flip a coin because they're both deep, you know, deep downfield threats that either one of them could catch a home run and then it's their week.
Exactly.
Evan Engram, yeah, that was a good mention on Evan Engram. He scored touchdowns in back-to-back weeks, so obviously they're looking at him in the red zone. Yeah, not a lot to be excited about New York, but hey, I mean, after the bye week, maybe Saquon will finally be back and we can get that offense back on it.
That would be
back
great
on
for
the
all
wheels.
Of my fantasy
oh,
teams.
Gosh, I would love that.
Yeah.
That would be great. All righty. The other side of New York, Corey Davis still dealing with his hip injury. The coaches are expecting him to return this week. However, if he's not able to, Elijah Moore is the name to know. He had a fantastic 2-touchdown game last week, had like 8 receptions. I think 3 of them were over 15 yards. So he's getting volume. He's explosive plays. He's scoring touchdowns. Elijah Moore, I think, is maybe cementing himself as the number one option there, even if Corey Davis comes back. Do you feel like that's too premature to say that? Or
yeah, probably. I mean, I think that Elijah Moore has been dormant most of the season. I think a lot of that does have to do with the quarterback play. But I mean, Corey Davis, if he's in, I think that he definitely commands alpha volume on that offense. But he's been so inconsistent. I think if I were to put my chips anywhere, it'd be Corey Davis just because of, you know, the body of work he's shown us. But Elijah Moore is exciting and he really could have another blow up game any week.
Yeah. If you like to gamble, it's Elijah Moore. If you like to trust what you've seen, it's Corey Davis then.
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on with Chase Claypool and his toe injury in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this is a tricky one because Mike Tomlin and the team have been very mum on the exact injury and what to expect. What we know is that he's going to get an MRI. I think he's going to get a lot more testing on it. So, you know, what that tells us is that they have legitimate concern for some sort of possible red flag pathology. You know, they want to know more and they're going to throw out, you know, the most meaningful diagnostic tool that we have in medicine, which is an MRI. So, I mean, at this point, we'd be totally guessing. Could be turf toe, could be a stress fracture, could be nothing, just a sprain. You gotta wait to make a decision on this. You gotta just listen to the news, not even the practice reports on this. Someone has to say something. You know, should he miss time? Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, those are two obvious candidates to get some more volume. And Najee Harris, I mean, he's been the volume god this year. So, but I think your cheapest option is probably Freiermuth.
Yeah, he was somebody that I picked up this week. I have Dawson Knox and Noah Fant in one league. And of course, Knox still dealing with the hand injury. And then Noah Fant late in the week got added to the COVID list. So I was scrambling and he was available on waivers. And it was a good pickup, but unfortunately not enough to get the win. As you were mentioning, they're doing an MRI. MRI allows you to see both bone and soft tissue. So that tells me, which obviously it's speculating, but that tells me they're wanting to see soft tissue. So I would expect, as you mentioned, maybe they're looking at turf toe, maybe they're looking at some kind of ligament sprain, something soft tissue related in the foot outside of just a fracture.
Yeah, there's a lot in the toe. I mean, it's such a small unit, but it's so complex. Mm-hmm. So it could be so many different things at this point.
And even being so small, especially for a wide receiver, it can be so aggravating and cause enough pain that you just can't play, especially in a tight fitted cleat.
Yeah, that's true.
Cleats are not friendly on your feet. Alrighty, Antonio Brown, speaking of feet, has still been seen in the walking boot around Tampa Bay's facilities. We're unsure at this point when he may return. He's kind of a mysterious human being as it is. But until he comes back, for me, it's the Chris Godwin and Mike Evans show. As far as receivers go, the rest of them are just kind of dart throws on which one might show up and have a big week. But those are two that you can rely on. I would expect them both to get a heavy dose of Tom Brady's attention and to be wide receiver one candidates week in and week out.
Yeah. I mean, it could be either of their games. You know, Chris Godwin has definitely been more consistent, but you never know. Tom Brady just throws to the guy that's open.
Yeah. And he's very good at that. All righty. Other receiver updates. We got just one returning. Michael Gallup is practicing this week. He is expected to play on Sunday. So Dallas should be getting back its third option at wide receiver and getting back to full strength on offense. So certainly something exciting for Dak Prescott managers. And if you've been holding on to Michael Gallup in your IR spot, staying in Dallas, let's move over to the tight end position and talk about Blake Jarwin. He popped up with a hip injury this week. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, I mean, this really stinks for Blake Jarwin. He's been placed on IR already. And, you know, he's been recovering from ACL surgery last year. So I think that these two things combined, they're really going to hamper his progress, his ability to return in the quickest, you know, time frame. And then even when he does, you know, his ability to perform when he's back. So, you know, I think realistically, rest of season, you're looking at Dalton Schultz taking over for, you know, the volume that does go to the tight end position. Dalton Schultz has already been the more productive tight end. And tight ends just traditionally have a harder time recovering from ACL repair and performing after the fact. So, you know, it stinks for Blake Jarwin. But if you're a dynasty manager, I'd be looking at Blake Jarwin 2022.
Yeah. I was hoping it was going to be Blake Jarwin 2021. And then, like you said, Dalton Schultz has just outperformed him. So yeah. Kind of stinks to see, but hey, the beauty of dynasty is there's always next year. Staying with the tight ends, Rob Gronkowski dealing with a back injury right now. Again, if he misses time this week, I think it's Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Mike Evans is obviously the big target in the red zone and around the end zone. He's the one that I'm looking at, obviously not at the same position, but red zone targets are likely going to go to Mike Evans. He's the big guy down there that Tom Brady's going to be looking for. Hopefully Gronk can come back quickly. He's dealt with back injuries in the past. He's been dinged up this year, but it's not unusual for him to play through stuff. So keep an eye on the practice reports with Rob Gronkowski. And then last few tight end updates. We mentioned Dawson Knox earlier in the pod. He missed last week with a hand injury. He is listed as day-to-day right now for Buffalo. I would expect him to play. He looked like he was on the trajectory to play last week, and then last minute they decided, no, not quite ready yet. So watch Buffalo's practice reports this week. He should be ready to go, though. And then last but not least, Logan Thomas is finally about to come back, possibly coming back this week. He was testing his hamstring on Monday. All reports that I've been able to find have indicated that he's getting close to a return, possibly as early as this week. So keep an eye on practice reports in Washington as well. Anybody left off?
I think that's a lot of them.
I think that just about does it. Well, I don't have any trivia prepared since Matthew can't be here.
So it's an auto victory.
Try to be fair and impartial. We might have to give you like a half point or something for actually showing up.
I humbly accept.
All jokes aside, Matthew's work schedule didn't allow him to join us this week, but we totally understand. Eric, where can the folks find you on social media, sir?
All right. I am the Nighthawk PT. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_Nighthawk.
And if you're not following Eric already, I certainly recommend it. Not only is he just a handsome devil, he's a very good fantasy injury analyst. And one last thing before we go, we have to give a shout out to John C. Music for making all of our intro and outro music. You can find him, johncmusic@gmail.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you hopped on the live stream, thanks for watching with us. Sorry you had to look at our ugly mugs that long, but we appreciate it. If you're listening, I did. If you're listening after the fact, thank you for tuning in. And one last thing before we go, don't forget, the best ability is availability. Peace.
Bye.